Welcome everyone to another episode of the Jonathan Project Podcast. Our purpose here is simple. We're trying to help men navigate the complex times we live in and have better relationships with those around them. And we take the biblical Jonathan's example of loyalty and faith with his friend and future King David as the inspiration for this podcast. So I'm happy to be here with my buddy and co-host Jason. And we also are happy to be to episode number 10. This is a big one for us. 10 weeks of being faithful, trying to help men, encourage all those who are listening to be better and to rise up to that standard that the Bible and Jesus ask of us as men. And we also have a special guest, which is something we're going to tee off as we move into our second season. So Jason, over to you to introduce our guests.
Hey, appreciate you doing this. And again, 10th episode, it's a big deal. We're going to close this season out. I wanted to have Tyler on here. Tyler's been a longtime listener. If you've listened to the show, you've heard me talk about Tyler and mentioned Tyler. Known him for a long time, a devout man of faith. And so, Tyler, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Thanks, Jason, Kobe. First off, this is the first time doing this. And I think this is a good way of getting my feet wet and doing it with you guys. And I appreciate the opportunity. Like Jason said, me and him, we've known each other quite a while. And we've got some history together. And I'm happy to finally meet Kobe after listening to him for a long time. Yeah. Seems like a long time. But I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. We appreciate that. So there's a lot, you know, just for the audience, like for everyone to know, we had to take a second shot at this. And you kind of seen that through sometimes. I think sometimes the devil throws a curveball at you, but we were able to hit it out of the park. And I think it gave us an opportunity really to come back and to talk about a couple things that are happening and how we respond, and in particular our topic about politics. So we're going to jump into the deep end today. So Jason, what do you got for us to kind of get us warmed up and started?
You know, as we as Christians take a look, the world is constantly in a state of turmoil, and we see this. If you turn on the news, those are the topics you have to deal with. And so I believe it's very fair as we enter into this electoral season and you watch people in the passion that they have over politics, how do we as Christians be that calm in the political storm? Because that storm affects everything we do. You know, it is, people claim that they are the political right for everything to help the nation. And people put so much stock in it. Think of it like this. For husbands, for moms, for wives, for anyone who is a Christian, if you're going through things in life, you know, politics is a big deal. Whoever enters into that office next, absolutely, that's important. And I don't want to take away from that. But how do we maintain that calm in the storm as we stare at it? We were just earlier talking about the infamous Olympic scene where, you know, the community decided to have that portrayal of the Last Supper, right? A very offensive thing. And we talked about that in politics this morning, Colby, about what's the response. So,
yeah. And, you know, I think that it's interesting that, you know, and it was well timed as I heard my local sermon yesterday, and then I shared with you, and I'll share with you, Tyler, and the audience, is our pastor kind of addressed the elephant in the room, which is Christianity is the one religion on planet Earth where everyone feels like they can take a shot and they're not worried about like the response, right? You know, you can't say anything bad about Islam because people are terrified of what might be happening. You can't say anything about this, that, and the third. But I think, and my pastor gave this example, so let me say it. He was in a coffee shop. I'll give you the short version. A guy was talking about how fancy he was rich guy, and he starts coughing and he turns around and sneezes on the pastor. And so I can kind of hear everyone in the audience, you're like, oh man, like this is one of those moments where my faith is going to be tested a little bit. And the guy doesn't apologize. As the pastor says, God bless you, he says, well, I don't believe in your God.
I believe in physics.
Yeah, the pastor is boiling. He said he's a pretty big boy. He said, you know, I wanted to knock him down.
Yeah.
But what he came back with in his response, and this is how he teed it up, he was like, yes, I was offended, But my response was to again tell him that my God doesn't need you to believe in him to still bless you. And he got his coffee and walked away. As he was walking out, to sum it all up, three of the people from the church were watching. And he said, that's the point. He was like, we shouldn't be shocked. We shouldn't be surprised that the world hates us, because Jesus himself very bluntly said that they're going to hate you because of my name. He's like, but what Jesus has called us to do, and the whole point of the Jonathan Project really is, in those moments as men, you have to kind of rise up sometimes because you don't know who's watching. It doesn't mean you're not offended. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't go to the voting booth and do your civic duty. But don't let that one task that is a minor start majoring on it and override what the Lord has asked us to be and to be salt and light and to lose that. Because like Jesus said, if you lose the flavor of the salt, it's no good. You got to throw it away. So Tyler, I know you saw that too. So any thoughts before we jump into the rest of the show?
Just real quick, I think that the news media or the media in general is focused on the Last Supper, but the whole thing, the whole display was, you know, basically a slap in the face of the church with a capital C. You know, every Christian believer, you know, what should be, and so far it seems that they were offended by that.
Yeah.
But we also should be mournful, I guess would be the term, for those people.
Yeah.
That they are so, so dark in their heart that they think that that's what they should do and they're happy about it. That's sure. Sad. To me, that makes me very, very sad.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think about it. For you to thumb your nose in the face of a living God. And the Bible talks about how terrifying it is to be on the opposing end of a living God.
Hmm.
It's, you know, you're probably pretty far down on the slide to hell.
Yeah.
And you're probably not trying to turn back.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to a guy say one time that he said that, you know, don't forget those are the same people that Jesus would have welcomed at his table. And I'm like, Jesus welcomed every repentant sinner to his table. Repentant was the key thing.
And,
mm-hmm. Hey, yeah, and it does. If you're going to scorn a religious, especially Christianity, the truth, right? I took that term religion and I kind of looked at it, and by Webster's dictionary, it flat out says, now we take it, the first piece of it, a belief in God, right? But it is also a personal set of institutionalized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practice. You kind of follow that down. It says, cause a principle or system of beliefs held to with ardor or faith. You know, it's very interesting that we do take a pot shot at Christianity, but no one else, there's no other religious belief that people want to take a pot shot at, right?
Yeah.
And so, but I'm glad we took a moment to talk about it. Again, how you respond to this says a lot. And I think it's very telling by mature Christians that you realize the person who's doing this, hey, I hate it, because at the end of this, now you may have a large community cheering you on, but death is a one-on-one thing. You're going to stand before the man by yourself.
Yep. Yep. And
man, yes, sir. I hope you got an advocate there. So,
yes, sir.
All right. So let's talk, you know, let's shift gears. You know, we talk about politics coming up. We're going to end season one on a big giant. This is it. Big fire. So.
Yep, you're throwing buses, aren't you?
Yeah, we're throwing buses, so get ready to bench press. All right. Rulers are put in place by God. That's the truth, right?
Mm.
And either it's true or it's not. If you're a Christian, it's true. So we need to act on it. That needs to be the world lens that we view this. It needs to be the optic that we view this season through.
Yeah.
I loved how you talked about it today, Colby, about how... Yeah, no, politics, the election, you know, God saw this coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's not surprised one bit, right? And I think, or there's no think to it. We try to make our Bible a little too American and our Jesus a little bit too Midwestern. And that's not an insult to anyone from the Midwest or anything else. But what I mean is we can get too wrapped around the axle of the flag and the cross. And I hate to break it and I hate to be blunt, but Jesus is not on our side. He's not on the side of the right. He's not side on the left. He's on his side, right? He's the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lord. And the kingdom rules are just that. They're kingdom rules. They're not democratic. They're not any other kind of way. And so I think there's a danger when you start putting a label, a man-made label, and saying that this is what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would look at. Now, again, it doesn't negate that we have a civic duty and that we can't just go out, live in the woods and throw our hands up and just start praying and think everything is going to be kumbaya. No, but you need to think about alignment. Neither of these man-made institutions here in the U.S. or any other political party around the world lines up to what the king wants 100%. So you have to govern yourself accordingly. And we talked about response. I think when you allow yourself to start looking at other people and degrading them, or get to the point where you want to enact violence, which is what we saw, right? And then Some people are lauding that and applauding that, then you have a problem. You have a misalignment of what is really the most important thing, which is honoring, you know, the kingdom and trying to be ambassadors, right? We've talked about this through several episodes. Who are you representing? Right. Mm-hmm. And that should govern the way that you move in all aspects. So, you know, Tyler, what do you kind of think about this, man?
I think that, like you said, you know, Jesus is on his side. You know, he is the King of Kings. So when God raises up a king, a ruler, a president, or a congressman or a mayor, they are ruled by him, whether they realize it or not, whether they even believe in him or not.
Yep.
You know, he placed them there.
That's right. And
it may be a reason for blessing on us. It may be a reason for judgment or testing.
Yeah.
So we have our civic duty. We have to vote for these. We have to choose and put our say in. But we also have to use our heart and look at everything through a biblical lens in order to make to ourselves and our between us and God, that's the right decision for me. This is the way I need to go. We have to avoid, and it's difficult. We all do it. You know, we're all guilty of it, but we have to avoid that, letting Tyler's emotion, Tyler's logic, and Tyler's desires. That's the big thing. What I want.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We got to be careful not let that push the button, flip the switch on that voting machine.
And you know, Tyler, you highlighted a couple of things that I think are super important. You can't forget that Satan's all the strategy is division, right? Like, he divided the angels in heaven from God. And then he's like, okay. And then he comes down and divides Adam and Eve. Okay. And then you've got the fall of man. And then he comes back, and throughout it's constant division. You know, he even divided at David's household against himself. So we have to be very careful about that. And as Christian, if you're the spiritual leader of your house, whether you are man, woman, child, right? You have to be very careful about division and things like that. But also, if you are a Christian, you really should look to your Bible. And believe it or not, the Bible does talk a lot about kings. There's even a book in there titled, right?
Imagine that.
And
oh, buddy,
if you look at how they're measured, you know what it says? They either followed God or they didn't follow. So maybe
point
that's
blank.
How we ought to view, right?
Point
Let's
blank.
Think about that. And we're also told very clearly in Psalms not to put our trust in horses or chariots, but in him, right? So vote with your faith and don't be colorblind to, well, I'm going to just hit all red. I'm going to hit all blue. I don't like either. So I'm just going to waste my vote. Or whatever, be smart, be wise about it. And I guess I've even seen politics tear families apart.
Yeah.
Why? Let's put this in perspective. And I can't remember how you started the discussion today, Colby, but, you know, let's have things in priority. As a Christian, let's have things in priority. Number one, we're called to be faithful. We're called to be husbands, fathers. You're called to be wives. You're called to be mothers. By the way, it's coming thunderstorm here, if you can hear it. But you're called to be those things. And there is no marriage counselor. There is zero who says, hey, man, I know it's going rough right now, but if you give it to the election, depending on who's in office, your marriage is going to get better. Your kids are going to straighten out.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, man, take care of your immediate area first. That's important, right?
Yeah.
That's it. For those, especially the three of us, with the backgrounds we have, D.C. is concerned with D.C. That's the primary thing.
Yeah.
It really is, guys. It's, if you're listening to this, and that's a shock to you.
It's a self-licking ice cream cone.
It is. It is. Have you ever seen Congress vote in a term limit? Have you ever seen any of those guys vote in, hey, maybe we shouldn't make as much money? Things like that. Let's just be candid, okay? So, but the things you can and you are a good steward of is your family. And so I think that's important. So when you do this, I actually brought up a couple of things about conflict, you know, and how that, I think you got to avoid that in your house, right? Like that's important.
Yeah.
You know, well, I really would like to get you guys' thoughts on conflict and how to avoid it as seasoned men, which is a very polite way of saying as we're getting older, right? How do you avoid conflict? It's an, you know, I love this definition. It's an expressed struggle between at least two interdependent parties to perceive incompatible goals. If you're a family, you're an interdependent party, right?
Yeah.
Like you depend upon each other. You're a team.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with that? You know? So silent.
So the first thing that comes to my mind is, because we've all seen it, someone will bring up politics. You know, I voted for this guy. I wish that guy hadn't got in for whatever reason. You know, some kind of, you know, derangement syndrome, whatever they want to call it, you know, kicks in. It's the same thing that you said, Jason, earlier. Satan, he, you know, thrives on division. That's his mainstay.
Yes.
And what caused the first division was his pride. And I think that pride is what drives 90% of these outbursts of political conflict in a family. You know, on a stage and a debate and stuff, that's different. But when it comes to you and yours, it's a pride thing, I think. It's because your guy didn't win, or they know that someone else is right when they say he's terrible. He's bad for the country. He's bad for the county. He's bad for the city. And they know it. And that pride just will not let them back down and just step away from the conflict, from the argument, whatever it is, and just take a deep breath. So in turn, we can't be the ones, we can't react to it. We have to be proactive and have it in our minds. How am I going to address this if this comes up? Because I know how he/she feels about this particular party. We have to have it in our mind. And like you said earlier, we have to have our nose buried in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And know what God says. And if we're open to it, our hearts and minds are open to it, the Holy Spirit will let you know exactly what to say. I mean, he even promises us that he will give you the words.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think to round it out, like, I agree with everything that, you know, you guys are saying. I think that to avoid conflict, you know, you have to remember what the Bible says is if we keep our minds, renew our minds daily. And how you do that is being filled with his word, then your mind is elevated onto the higher thing. You know, as we talked about in some previous episodes, what are you carrying around as a man, as a woman, whoever's listening to this, in your proverbial rucksack, right? Those priorities. And if one of the things that you're carrying around is I'm a red, I'm a blue, I'm a purple, I'm this or that, then that is a misalignment of your priorities, because that is not what Jesus sees and calls you to be. It's not to say that it's not important, but it's not the most important things. And we can suck the air out of a room, and you can lose a complete opportunity that the Lord has put before you and a person before you to give them the most important decision that they can ever possibly make on this planet, which is accepting him, all because you're focused on the wrong priority. And I think we kid ourselves sometimes when we look at and not study out the Bible. You know, the Lord allowed Pharaoh to do what Pharaoh did. He allowed bad kings out of the whole nation, out of all the nations on the planet. Israel is the chosen nation by the God of the Bible. And if he allowed them to have a bad king, I hate to break it to people out here pretty bluntly, but the 247-year-old America, he's not afraid to give us a bad leader from time to time. And it goes to something you said, Tyler, earlier, is there's a reason and a purpose. And it is to draw us back to him. Again, that response. That's what it's about. It's all about him. And we should be calling people that are in the darkness, and we should be that light to help them understand the gospel and the message that Jesus came. Not about what's happening in D.C. Because if you're believing in him, you shouldn't be afraid. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. If you look back on the last 4 years, if you're a believer, tell me, are you not standing today? Has the Lord not provided? It has nothing to do, like, you know, with what's going on there. It has everything to do with the king. So, yeah.
There's two things that really come to mind when I think about politics. I think about the Pharaoh quite a bit because he's mentioned, and it says, you know, I raised him up for my purpose. And if you think about when Moses comes in there and goes, hey, let my people go. And he goes, all right, well, you know, got a plague going on. All right, I'm going to let him go. And then the Pharaoh hardens his heart. But about on down into those plagues, it plainly states that God hardens his heart.
Yeah.
And later it says, I raised him up for my purpose. And then if you go forward into Jeremiah, he's telling Jeremiah the whole time, he says, hey, you're about to be carted off into Babylon. These guys want to worship idols. I'm going to send them to the center of the idols. Those that come out, the remnant that come out, they'll never look at idols again. Colby and Tyler, both of you hit this thing. Conflict is not always bad. And I think when it becomes bad, it's an internal and it's dysfunctional, right? And there are multiple styles to deal with it. One of the things that we've talked about is there is the avoidance style, right? But that just sweeps it under the rug. But there is this collaborative style, a high degree for both self and others. You're looking out for both parties' interest. And this comes to when you have to deal with the people you love who are caught up in this. It's very easy to get caught up in the passion of politics. It really is. As a mature Christian, continue to go back to the Bible and go, well, you know, we get the leaders we deserve. And if this one didn't go right, maybe God's telling us, let's go back to him. Let's keep pushing back to him. Like you said, I think when you deal with families, you have to create this productive engagement, right? And employ that collaborative tactic. And I hear people go, well, I don't like that guy. He's stupid. Well, okay. That has zero value. That statement in itself has zero value. I heard people say that about past presidents. And I asked very plainly, I said, well, what is it? What do you mean by that? Did you have access to his IQ scores? Because I'd really like to see that. What's his voting record? And they don't. You know, I think, and there's things that I don't, look, there's a ton that I don't know about. And I may not know the key nugget you're talking about when it comes to politics. I think a key phrase is, man, I just don't know enough about that topic to speak intelligently. I'm bringing nothing to this discussion, but if you'll help me figure out what is that you're talking about? Was it a particular item that was voted on? Can you help me with this? And let's talk about these topics. I think that will, as you raise up family members, that politics is going to be a part of it. It's the storm that's out there. So
yeah,
I think those are key points. How do you guys deal with it? I'm curious, Tyler, how do you deal with it when it comes up?
Well, of course, I don't have to. It's just me and Carmen, my wife. And I guess in a way, I am the calm of the storm, but it's out of sheer necessity. It isn't because of me being a willing, you know, going to be the leader. Sometimes it's just sheer necessity because she's passionate about certain topics. And fortunately, we're on the same page as, you know, we don't disagree on any of this stuff, but she can get very passionate about it. And we sit down and we talk about it. A lot of times I just let her talk about it. And then we come back around to, you know, we get in the Bible or we just you know, we remind each other about what God says about this. And it, you know, it always comes back to, you know, the two commandments that Jesus explained to his disciples, and, you know, or it was to his disciples. It was Pharisees, maybe. I can't remember exactly. It's Mark 12, 30 and 31. You know, you love the God, Lord your God, with all your heart, mind, and all your strength. And then the second one, 12:31, is, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. And we keep reminding ourselves of that. And we remind each other of that. It's, you know, there's times mm-hmm. when it's not her, it's me. And, but we have to stake our flag on that and just, and go from there.
I think that's an excellent point. You know, I did some research on negotiation. Anytime you have competing agendas, right? Like we just, in the business world, they just go, hey, it's a negotiation, but really it's how that collaborative skill set works. And one of those was huge on was avoid deceit. Mm-hmm. Now that's tough in politics, right? It really is, because, you know, it doesn't always line up. The audio and the visual don't always line up. But I believe amongst each other, we can avoid the lie, right?
Right.
The best part is there are voting records. Okay. What'd you vote on? Wonder why. Okay. And another one is this right here. When you deal with family and friends, what you really have to, and this is where you have to be that calm in the storm, is you got to be comfortable with how you deal with this tomorrow. Like tomorrow's coming, unless the Lord shows up. And then it's judgment, so you probably ought to be comfortable with what you're doing now in anticipation of that. But, you know, so you got to think about that. And you also got to realize there's things, again, I'm going to go back to, that we don't know everything about, but going back to loving God first and loving others. And look at things in the shadow of the future. Society is this constantly shifting, moving target, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about things that were socially acceptable in the 80s that are not now. And I think that as you do this, you got to focus on the actual interest. And as you move forward to develop that win-win strategy to push your family towards Jesus Christ, like Colby said, what's your response? You got one. What is it? Does it reflect the kingdom or does it reflect you? What you got, brother?
No, I think as we are, you know, we're at our window that we always try to keep folks at. I think you summed it up well. You know, politics is one of these things that it is hard to wrap your head around, but it's easy to lose your credibility as far as your faith. It's easy to stray a little bit too far into being a mirror for the world versus reflecting, you know, the life that's supposed to be in you. And I think you have to be very intentional on how you have these discussions with your family, with your friends, with your coworkers. You can most definitely stand for the principles that align for the Lord, but you don't have to engage in every battle, you know, and sometimes it's best to, you know, use that discernment on, is this the time to engage, you know, because you never want to miss the opportunity to point someone towards Jesus Christ. So as we get closer to November, I'm sure we'll probably circle back to this, but, you know, we have to, as men, to stand in the gap and do the right thing. And that means sometimes, as I gave the example with the pastor, is know that someone's watching you and they're trying to see just how deep your faith in the King really is. So, you know, this has been a great season. It's been 10 weeks of being faithful and showing up every single day, or every single week, I should say. And we're really appreciative for all those folks out there like Tyler. And, you know, I think about my father and all the men at Odessa Christian Faith Center, and guys like Mark that listen and that are encouraged, and all the folks that we don't have a chance to know and to meet. But we do want to give you an opportunity, as we talk about every week, please reach out to us at the Jonathan Project Podcast at gmail.com. We would love to talk to you. We love to get an opportunity to engage in any kind of men's ministry event or just speaking one-on-one and kind of figuring out more about each and every one of you. So thanks for that. You can find every episode on Tuesdays on Apple, Spotify, iTunes, Pandora, you name it, you can find us there. And so we've enjoyed this. We're going to take a 2-week break and we're going to come back with season two. We're going to try to bring on more guests in season two and try to do more of these interviews types of programs. So continue to support us, continue to look out for us. Jason, what do you want to tell the folks as we get ready to take a little bit of a break at the end of season?
I appreciate everybody's support who has absolutely been there and listened to us and sent messages and said, hey, appreciate what you're doing. Thank you again. I'd like to really send out a special thanks to one of our favorite listeners who's also my greatest. She gives me the best feedback, which is my wife, who constantly reminds me I have a face for radio and a voice for silent films. No, I'm kidding. She does not. She's super encouraging. But I also want to say thanks to you, Colby, for everything you do and make sure that's publicly out there. I mean, you absolutely pull all the levers. You do all the editing. You do all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. And I really do appreciate that. Tyler, thank you for joining us and being faithful, as well as taking that leap of faith to come out and be a voice on this. So thank you.
Absolutely. I back at you guys. I'm very appreciative of getting to do this. And especially, I mean, Jason knows this. Recently, we spent quite a bit of time having discussions like this. And so it's not only is it fun, but it's rewarding just to hang out with two God-fearing men and get to talk about this stuff with people that understand and hopefully help other guys to understand as well.
Well, we hope to have you back in season two. Again, everyone, episode 10 will be dropping on Tuesday, and you will then see us again in 2 weeks for season two of the Jonathan Project podcast. So on behalf of Tyler, Jason, and myself, thank you, and we'll see you again really soon.